This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Pete. 12-18. We'll go through each NFL game and ask the one big question about each matchup in Week 13. Carl Hagelin of the Capitals in 40 minutes. Let's start our Beltway Blitz. Three teams, one segment you care about. J.P. Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. J.P., will we see more Darius Geis, less Adrian Peterson, as we get further removed from his return?
That's a hard one to answer, man. I think that should be the case, but I'm not confident that it's
I'm going to throw him on hold for you, Dar, because that is a little bit of what we like to call a bad cell phone.
Staticky. Like laundry stuck together.
Cell phones are tough, man. They can do a lot of things. They have a lot of possibilities. They make our lives better. But the actual phone call part of it feels to have not gotten that much better in the last few years.
Agree with that. I think they kind of hit a wall, and they're like, we could spend trillions and barely upgrade that, or you can check the internet. And they'd rather have more internet things and Facebook things and those things.
Let's complain about cell phones a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that annoys me, and this is super white collar.
I love this.
I can't use my Spotify to listen to my music, like when I'm on a walk or out and about, walking the mall or whatever, unless I'm on wireless.
Right.
I'd love to be able to use my Spotify on G. Why can't I do that?
I feel like you can.
I don't think you can.
There's a setting for that where it's like allow it to use your built-in memory.
You could do like built-in library or something, but I'm talking about I want to like scroll Spotify.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is I think you can. I think there's a setting where it's like, dude, you want to pay extra for all the data you're going to pummel? Or you want to be on Wi-Fi.
Oh.
And it's in the app, man.
If that's the case, someone tweet me and let me know how to do that.
But I don't know. What do I know?
Let's go back to JP. More Geis, less Peterson, yay or nay?
I don't know that you can say that definitively. I just think Callahan loves Adrian Peterson, and I'm not confident that he's going to get away from him. I think where you can see more Geis is maybe he's on the field in more third down situations. But I think with Chris Thompson coming back, I don't know that they're going to take Chris Thompson off the field, especially when he's so good in pass protection. So I don't know. I obviously, that should be the case. I think we should be getting to a point where it's maybe 15, 17 carries for Geis and maybe 7 or 10 for Peterson. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Joe Pesci-Finley, how close are we in your mind to a resolution to the Bruce thing? That could either be, oh, he's definitely staying, no question, or he's out, at least in terms of the football ops, no question. How close are we to a resolution in your mind?
The Danilorian. I saw your tweet this morning, and it sounds like you are confident that nothing will happen.
That's how I feel. Right? That's how I feel, yeah.
I think something will happen. I think there will be a resolution. When does that happen is a great question. Let's say this. If Bruce is staying, there will be no announcement. There will be no proclamation. Mm. It'll just be, of course I'm staying. What do you possibly think would happen? That's how that movie goes. If he is gone, I think it will be done with a good opportunity to kind of save face, and I'm walking away of my own volition sort of thing, and I think it would happen end of the year, right as soon as the season ends, something like that.
And then Snyder would do the David Tepper sit down with J.P. Finley, right?
I would certainly love that, Grant.
Me too.
I'm very sure that would happen.
Let's make that happen, should we? Have you ever thought about requesting an interview with him or Bruce? Have you ever thought about trying that?
Grant, I'm sure you have. I have requested 100 interviews.
No, that's a bit.
It's a bit.
It's funny because people say all the time, why don't you just ask to talk to him if you want to talk to him so bad? Oh, that's a good idea. I've never considered that.
We should try to do that.
Thanks, JP.
Thank you, fellas.
Be well, pal. One of our faves. Let's talk baseball. Jamal Collier, MLB.com. He had a chicken sandwich and French fries for dinner last night.
Did not gain a pound.
From where, Jamal?
From a bar here on H Street, Bar Elena. And this is this question. You guys asked me any time in the last week. I've been making some crappy chicken and rice and salmon, like at home, actually cooking. First time my stove's been on since before the baseball season. And you guys caught me on the one night that my cheat day was.
I like that.
I don't appreciate
cheat day
that.
All the time is the best.
Your whole
to
life
it.
Should be a cheat day, by the way. You're so thin.
Nats. As
I lost
of right
10
now,
pounds since the end of the playoffs.
Like they'll keep Strauss and not keep Rendon. We kind of knew that going in. But what else other than those two guys is there to discuss right now?
I mean, I think just look at even the rest of the roster. I mean, one thing from Ryan Zimmerman this week, you know, the red carpet event, and kind of once again, him is just expressing just a supreme confidence that, you know, they're going to be able to get something done. You know, I thought that just because of the way that both sides have been talking throughout the season and such, that this might be a thing that happens somewhat quickly. And I'm just kind of, if Zimmerman's as confident as he is, and the Nats have kind of expressed as confident as much as they have, I'm just kind of just surprised, I guess, that it hasn't already been done. But it's just the, kind of the holes they still have to plug. Obviously, second base is one as well. And then if they're going to address the bullpen or not, it's kind of a thing, too. They obviously got by with it through the playoffs, but it was still a pretty bad bullpen. They probably use a really reliable reliever. The best I've heard, they probably don't want to go too long, multi-years on some relievers there. So, yeah, still a few holes to figure out. But I think those two big dominoes have to maybe fall first, at least have a better idea of where they're going to fall.
Jamal, let's say no Anthony Rendon, which is very possible. He's in demand, yeah. I've heard. Then who? What are the most viable options? Everybody's going to want the consolation prize, Donaldson. I don't know that they want to go long and with huge amount of money there. What are their options at third if it's not Rendon?
It's bleak. And I mean, that was one of the things that Michael Moustakas, in general, I didn't love that deal for the Reds, actually, especially playing a bad position at second base. But once he kind of goes on the market, you're right, it's such a steep drop off from Rendon and Donaldson to whatever else has to be out there. I mean, I kind of think they'd have to get creative here. Maybe explore the trade market, maybe explore some other options. I really haven't heard anything that's really kind of a backup plan or a backup option that's necessarily split out to me. I don't love personally the whole idea of sticking Carter Kieboom out there. He's just never played that position in the minors or in the majors, obviously. So it just would be really weird to all of a sudden stick him, you know, replace a Gold Glove MVP candidate at third base with a guy who just not played the position since high school. I think we talked about this maybe last month on you guys' show that the Rendon would be the one that I would pursue more aggressively just because there's just such a steep drop-off if you don't get one of those top two guys.
Thanks, Jamal.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy.
That's the Nats on the Blitz. Let's talk puck. 5 straight wins for the Caps. Best start in franchise history. They've played 16 road games, and they've only lost 2 in regulation. Samantha Pell covers the team for the Washington Post. Samantha, what can we say about John Carlson? 2 more goals last night. There haven't been modern-day defensemen doing what he's done this year ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Carlson, he leads all NHL blue liners in goals with 11 and points, 42 through 30 games this season. And really, he's just on a roll. I think, you know, my colleague Neil Greenberg wrote a post today that said, you know, kind of forget the Norris Trophy. Let's talk about the heart for Carlson. And, you know, I think he does have a point there.
Samantha, what are the, as Hagelin comes back and Backstrom should be back, you know, any minute now, what are the concerns, not the right word, but kind of what are the questions? What has to be settled here as this team is rolling?
Yeah, I just think, you know, it is Backstrom is kind of that one question mark of, is he okay? You know, Reardon talked about it yesterday of, we are still missing a superstar, so what can the team do, you know, in terms of depth scoring? And I think they kind of showed it last night. I mean, 10 players now with the Capitals now have at least 10 goals this season, which leads the NHL. And I think that does really show off their forward depth and obviously their top 6 forwards.
Samantha, thanks for the time. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That is your Beltway Blitz. 3 teams in town, all jammed into a segment on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Next, one question about every Week 13 NFL game. The holiday shopping season is here, and this year your gift can start next year's good habit. Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it's dental care they'll actually want to use every day. That's why Quip's the perfect, thoughtful, practical gift. That's why I have Quip, and I got my wife Quip as well. She loves it, and you will too. An electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste. Intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations, a timer every 30 seconds, plus the floss dispenser has pre-marked strings so you get the right amount. Quip delivers brush heads, floss, toothpaste refills every 3 months. 3 million happy customers using Quip. You could be the next one. Go to getquip.com/2019. to save on gift sets or get your first refill free with a refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/2019. At 12:45 today, Carl Hagelin of the Capitals makes his return to the show. Couldn't have Hags on the last 3 weeks because of his injury.
They got these rules.
It'll be good to catch up with him again. Big thanks to Jacob Verana, Brian McClellan, among other Capitals who filled in for him on the show. One question about every NFL game. Start with tonight's Thursday night football matchup. Your big question.
Who do you want to be, Dallas Cowboys? Division champion, group that's a win now. The window is open, right? The contracts have been doled out. A lot of highly paid folks. Dak Prescott's in line to make $1 billion. You got a vulnerable team. You got a Thursday night football game in front of the nation. Do you want to be the NFC's champions or a cautionary tale of how not to build a franchise?
Can Amari Cooper do something on the road? 47 catches, 758 yards, 5 touchdowns at home. Same number of games, 30 fewer catches, 530 fewer yards, 3 fewer touchdowns this year on the road. Staggering splits, no wide receiver like them. Colts, Bucks, 6-6, Indianapolis at 5-7, Tampa Bay. And weirdly, by the way, the Colts are underdogs in this game.
It is weird, but the Colts aren't playing well all of a sudden. They're on their millionth running back, although Marlon Mack may come back this week, but it doesn't matter because Tampa Bay's got a really good run defense. My question is, Jameis Winston the quarterback of the future or of like just the next couple games in Tampa Bay? Do they commit to him with enough improvement? If he starts playing well here down the stretch, it might not be the worst option in the world, or are they going to be back in the market?
They've got to move on from him.
I probably would, but if he plays well, gets this Tampa
team
rolling.
I think
bit,
it's a conclusion. It's already.
You think it's already done?
Dude, he's 22 touchdowns, 20 picks, and an 82 rating.
20 so many.
This is year 5. He makes the same terrible mistakes he's always made. My big question, are the Colts going to make the playoffs? If they win this game, they're very much in the mix. They are a Steelers loss and a Titans loss from being even for the last spot, and then you need some tiebreakers to work out for you. Huge game for Indianapolis. Dolphins, 3-9. Jets, 4-8. Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Meadowlands.
Can Adam Gase put a couple, you know, things in the barn here to avoid being a one-and-done? That's really what this is to me. It came in with a lot of promise, a lot of hype. Didn't wow people with early press conferences. Just seemed aloof, weird, condescending. Some of the decisions have been bizarre.
Don't forget the eye thing he was doing.
Well, I mean, that's a physical thing that I can't necessarily make fun of, but I will a little bit. His eyes look crazy. Now you've got this group that has been awful for most of the year. A couple weird jump-up wins where they beat Oakland, they beat Dallas, but for the most part, they've been awful. If you lose at home to Miami, what is it that you'd say you do here? It may be a one-and-done situation.
Here's my question. Are the Dolphins better than the Jets?
Oh, man.
Seriously, think about that. They would have identical 4-9 records if the Dolphins, led by Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been an upgrade for them, obviously, over Josh Rosen, beat the Jets this weekend. This is, by the way, the second time they have played the Jets. The first time they beat them by 8. If you sweep them and have the same record as them, you're better than them.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Are the Dolphins actually better than the Jets? Everyone said they were the worst team in football. We now know that the Bengals are. It's not the Dolphins. Are the Redskins worse than the Dolphins? They beat them by a point when Miami went for 2. Are the Giants worse than the Dolphins? Those teams will be playing. Are the Jets worse? My big question. 1 o'clock kick in New Orleans. How about this matchup?
Give me this.
I wish this was a 4 o'clock or a primetime game this weekend. San Francisco 49ers, 10-2. New Orleans Saints, 10-2. Just a couple of combined 20-win teams through 12 games apiece. A 20-4 record. San Francisco's defense is outstanding. Their running game is one of the best in the sport. Jimmy Garoppolo's just been okay. And it hasn't mattered because they don't really lose. Meanwhile, New Orleans last year was a bad call away from the Super Bowl. They think they're going to get back. This is a slobber knocker in the making. Can't wait for kickoff at the Superdome. What's your big question?
Can your offense, this applies to both teams, do enough against a great defense. Both teams feature excellent defenses. San Francisco is better on paper, but New Orleans is no slouch themselves. They get after the passer exceptionally well. Can they slow down this dynamic run game? It doesn't matter who they hand it off to. I wonder if I've heard that before about a Shanahan-led offense, by the way. It's Breida, it's Mostert, it's Coleman. It doesn't matter who it is. They're gaining yards. Can
some guy
your offense,
Jeff Smith? No,
Wilson.
Jeff Wilson.
Jeff Wilson.
Who is that man?
He's a vulture stealing touchdowns away from my fantasy starters.
Jeff Smith coached me in high school football.
I like that too. But New Orleans' offense at times hasn't really been that great against some good defenses. It's Michael Thomas. It's Kamara. Somebody else is going to have to step up. I cannot wait for this matchup. It's a great one.
My big question is Jimmy Garoppolo. If you need to shine and win San Francisco this game against a great team, can you do it? People put him over because his quote-unquote win-loss record, though, is great. He's had a fine year. 2-1 touchdown to picks, 21-10, 101 rating. But he does turn the ball over a bunch. Not a lot of plays made for him. He's been crisper the last 2 weeks against Green Bay. Helps when you win by 29. When they lost against the Ravens, didn't throw any picks. 3 touchdowns. That was only a 15 of 21 performance, and obviously that was in the rain. But I just want to see a little bit more out of Jimmy Garoppolo to feel like that's a Super Bowl team. I'd have a hard time picking them to win the championship if they go into the playoffs without Garoppolo elevating his game
a
little
bit. Yeah, starting to trend upwards.
I would feel kind of like I did about Goff last year. Really good numbers, playing well in his scheme. Just doesn't seem like he's putting his team on his back. Meanwhile, Lions, Vikings, Detroit, 3-8-1. Minnesota, really good at home in the dome, 8-4. This game in Minneapolis. Kirk Cousins almost led the Vikings back to beat the Seahawks. No Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs having the worst game of his season. Dalvin Cook got hurt. They lost their left tackle. And in the fourth quarter, Cousins is throwing a couple of touchdowns and getting them right back into the game. Having a better year than he's even getting credit for. And people are starting to take notice of it. Your big question.
Can Minnesota hold serve? You got to keep pace in a really ultra-competitive NFC. You can't slip up. You can't look past anybody. You got big matchups coming up with Green Bay and some other teams. Can you just continue? You're a better team than Detroit in every facet. Any way they measure teams, you're better than your opponent this week. Can Minnesota keep pace in a cutthroat NFC?
Will the Vikings defense turn a corner as it gets healthier here? Their defense has been bad for the major part of the middle of this season. It's funny because national people that don't watch them very much
still think of that as a good D. Yeah.
They always talk about their defense like it's dominant or there's some team that's going to win them games. It's not what this is. But they had a pick six on a fluky play against Russell Wilson that kept them in the game early this past week. As they get some bodies back, because they have been pretty banged up on that side of the ball, can you suffocate a team like Detroit? The Lions should have no ability to move the ball on this defense this weekend. Go out and dominate them. Broncos, Texans. In Houston, 1 o'clock kick. Denver's 4-8. Houston's 8-4.
Question for me is, can Deshaun Watson keep pace in the MVP race? Can he get himself back on the podium? I mean, he was a guy that was a, I'd say, early season favorite. Now everybody was basically going back and forth between Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. Can Watson elevate down the stretch? They don't have J.J. Watt. They're missing some pieces. Will Fuller's always banged up, has that little red flag next to him in fantasy. Can they find a way to continue to move the football? And can Watson have a couple big games down the stretch to get himself back into MVP candidacy?
Call me selfish. Maybe this has some fantasy implications, but I am in real life also curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the Texans the last couple of weeks have figured out, and Bill O'Brien has learned that he's allowed to throw the ball to Duke Johnson.
Ah.
They traded for him. You would have thought they were going to make him a major part of their offense. He's an asset. They've just decided that they were not going to get a whole lot out of him.
You need early down Carlos Hyde. Someone's got to go for 3.3 a carry.
Last couple of weeks, particularly in the red zone, we've seen more Duke Johnson. Are they going to start to feature him more? I think that would unearth some things in that offense. Redskins, Packers, 3-9, Washington winners of two straight on the road at Lambeau to take on a guy they once fired, Matt LaFleur's Green Bay Packers.
More improvement from Dwayne Haskins? Question mark? Whatever would have put on that teleprompter, he will read, including that question mark. Do we see the next step? Do we see, dare I say, a touchdown pass? Do we see big plays from an offense that has been devoid of those outside of a couple burst runs here over the last few weeks? Do we get a little bit more from Dwayne Haskins?
Darius Geis versus Adrian Peterson workload. Geis averaged 12 yards a carry, ran wild against Carolina. Still got 10 carries. Still at about the same number of drives as Adrian Peterson, who's 34, for a 3-9 team. Do you start to give the football to the young up-and-comer and start to prioritize getting him some much-needed reps going into a season where he's going to be featured for them next year. People say, oh, he might get hurt. That would be good to know. If he gets hurt again, then you need to know that you can't count on the guy. Let's figure that out in these four games, not in week two next year when you put a lot of eggs in that basket. We're halfway through your week 14 slate in the NFL. The one big question surrounding every NFL game, we're Grant and Danny. Carl Hagelin at 12:45. Evan Abrams of the Action Network with a couple of games might be worth you putting a couple of bucks on at 1:45. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We're going through every NFL game, giving you our one big question that could be answered between the 3 hours after the ball's put in the air until that final whistle sounds. Bengals-Browns, AFC North football, a couple of teams that are disappointing. Nobody thought Cincinnati would be 1-11. They are coming off their first win, looking for a second in a row. The Cleveland Browns had all the momentum this offseason. Everyone was crowning them. I had them going to the playoffs at 9-7. They'd have to get a 4-0 December under their belt to get to 9-7. They're 2 under .500 going into their final four.
Freddie Kitchens, can you take control of this thing? Can you show growth? Can you show improvement? Can you have guys not getting kicked out of games, guys not swinging helmets at opponents? Can you have some law and order on this group and have them play well down the stretch to give folks hope that you are the right guy heading into next year? It's a layup. You're playing Cincinnati. It's not even shooting fish in a barrel. It's standing next to a barrel. That's how hard this is. But still, you need to show some development here. Otherwise, year one, not encouraging of the Freddie Kitchens era.
Baker Mayfield, 15 touchdowns, 14 picks this year. Really upset with the year that he's had. I thought he was due for
a
breakthrough,
honestly.
Like 30 touchdowns and 12 picks. He's just been a problem much of the year. He had a quote yesterday everyone was going nuts about where he said, "Mama didn't raise a wuss," so he's going to play despite a broken bone, I believe, in his finger or hand or something. Look, I'm not sitting here telling you Baker Mayfield as a franchise quarterback is now in question, but I do think there is a question about whether or not he can salvage his season. Is this just going to be a year to forget, or is he going to finish on a note where in the end you go, he was okay, it just wasn't quite what we wanted? So my question is, Baker Mayfield, against bad teams like this, can you put up some numbers and get to a point where your year ends up looking respectable? Maybe the second best game of the weekend in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens, 10-2, and the Buffalo Bills, 9-3. 1 o'clock kick in Buffalo and Orchard Park. Are the Bills legit?
Stand up, Bills.
That's the question.
It's my question, too.
You're a game worse than Baltimore. You could actually tie them. Wouldn't that be stunning, by the way, if the Bills were tied with potentially the Patriots and the Ravens at the end of the weekend for the top spot in the AFC? Buffalo has beaten nobody. The closest thing to a good win on their resume was beating Dallas on Thanksgiving last week.
The Titans? Didn't they beat the Titans? Titans are okay.
If you think the Titans are good,
I'm not saying it's good. Saying it's good. That's
so
the best.
I'll stick with my point. They've beaten nobody that has a chance to win in the playoffs. This would be a really signature good win for them.
Feather in the cap. I echo that. This is, we know what Baltimore is. Right now, this minute, the best team in the NFL. If Buffalo shows up and messes around, Ice Cube style, gets a triple-double, next thing you know, we have to start talking about Buffalo very, very differently. I think Buffalo is just one of those high-floor teams where they're not going to turn it over, they're not going to screw up, they're going to play pretty good defense, and they're going to let Josh Allen try to make two or three plays. If they go balls to the wall here and do something major, we have to talk about them in a completely different way.
Panthers-Falcons, NFC South, 5-7 Carolina, 3-9 Atlanta. This is a 1 o'clock kick in Georgia.
All aboard the Dan Quinn firing train as it leaves the station. Can you salvage? Can you do something? Carolina's already fired their guy, Ron Rivera. And Dan Quinn probably is next on the chopping block. You start playing well, maybe that gets staved off.
How bad will things get for Carolina? That's my question. Are they going to end up 7-9, respectable, or completely tank and go 6-10 or 5-11? I think they come out, they beat Atlanta, they play inspired, and they try to take care of Perry Fuel, who's getting a chance now to run that organization. Chargers, Jaguars, couple of disappointments, both 4-8, 4:05 kick on Sunday in Jacksonville.
Is Phil Rivers still the franchise quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers? That's what I want to know. We're all of a sudden approaching an era where a guy that I think is a Hall of Famer ain't playing like one. And the longer this goes, the more this is just kind of what you are, and the Chargers may have to look elsewhere.
I'm still stunned the Jaguars bench Nick Foles after 10 quarters returning from a broken collarbone. They gave him almost $90 million bucks this offseason. How did that happen? They're probably going to have to go back to him next year, but Doug Marrone's trying to save his job. Gardner Minshew, you're the starter. Will Gardner Minshew perform, respond? If he plays well and they win, Marrone will look like a genius for at least a week. At 4:25, they will put the ball in the air in Oakland, where your Titans, who apparently you love.
I'm sure.
I'm just kidding. 7-5 and the 6-6 Raiders. What's your question?
Tom Petty style. Can Oakland stop the free fall? They are scuffling. They went on the road, had a weird game. They lost to the Jets. Okay, everyone's entitled to a bad one. Oh, no, you lost again. What's going on in Oakland? Remember, they were overachieving. They were a playoff team not that long ago, GP. Can they get right? Derek Carr and company need to figure something out to stave off the horrendousness of being outscored 74-13 over the last 2 weeks.
Can the Titans keep pace with the Steelers, who I believe will beat Arizona? That's the question for me. Can Tennessee stay at 8-5 and tied for the last playoff spot, even though they'd be the first team out as of right now? Chiefs, Patriots, one of the three best games of the weekend. 8-4 Kansas City and Foxborough. 10-2 New England at home, where the Patriots just can't score any points. 4:25, they get started.
You touched on it. Hey, bud, you guys going to do some offense this week, huh, pal? Going to try some forward progress, maybe a couple touchdowns, huh? That's where they're at. The Patriots need to score. Can they, against a vulnerable defense that can be had, that is the Chiefs? You know the Chiefs are going to move, and I'm fascinated to see that group, that dynamic of a great offense against one of the best defenses we've seen over the last decade, but it's about the Patriots' offense to me.
Here's my question. I think the Chiefs are back. I think people haven't noticed it yet, but I think Kansas City from a year ago has returned.
Mm.
They beat the Chargers by a touchdown a couple weeks ago. Then they had an opportunity to rest their quarterback, Pat Mahomes, who needed it. He looked like himself against the Raiders. They hung 40 this past week.
Casually, too, by the way.
Nobody's really talking about it. December 1st, they go out, they hang 40 just in time for their stretch run. Are the Chiefs back? Are the Chiefs turning back the clocks to 2018 with Mahomes now healthy again? Steelers, Cardinals, 4:25 in Arizona. Pittsburgh is 7-5, needs a win.
They're better off with Devlin Hodges. Is that a thing? Is this going to be a thing down the stretch where Pittsburgh just finds a way to beat a few bad teams, messes around, gets himself into the postseason? They're doing it with guys we didn't expect. We thought this was the heir apparent season for guys like Juju Smith-Schuster. He's probably not going to play again this week. We thought it was a James Conner season. He may not play again this week. This is a bunch of guys that you've never heard of, and Pittsburgh circling the wagons with a great defense.
Can Mike Tomlin take another step toward Coach of the Year? I think I would vote for him. Haven't really thought long and hard about it or done a bunch of research on it. But I think Tomlin might, off the top of my head, be my guy as of right now. A win, and he takes another step toward that. Can he get a win over a bad team, get his team to 8-5, and be the front runner in that category? Huge game in L.A. for the Rams. They're 7-5 as of right now. A game behind Minnesota for the last wild card spot. Seahawks are paying them a visit at 10-2. They lead the NFC West. Sean McVay's Rams look like they were teetering on the brink of being eliminated. They got themselves back into the mix with a huge win against the Cardinals. Seahawks, Rams, Sunday Night Football, 8:20 East time.
You stay alive no matter what occurs. That's what's got to happen. Rams need this win. Seattle could use it. Be nice for Seattle to win the game. They're in. They're really good. They end up second place in the division. No skin off their teeth. They'll go beat whoever's in front of them. The Rams are desperate, I think. I think they need this one.
What's your question?
Can they get it? Can they stay alive?
Will the Seahawks win the division? They win on Sunday. I would be willing to say that they do. And I think it would kind of put them on that path. Giants, Eagles, Eli Manning returns for New York, 2-10 to play the Eagles in Philly, 5-7. Monday Night Football. Nothing says primetime like the NFC East and Eli Manning off the bench.
I need some Carson Wentz. My question is, can you continue to build? He had his first multiple touchdown game, I believe, since week 6 last week. I may have those numbers wrong, but the point is he went a long time. Can you take control of this thing? They moved on from Nick Foles for you. They are losing weapons left and right. They overestimated how important it was to have good receivers and the like. Can you step up and lead this team down the stretch and win the crappiest division in sport?
Can Eli Manning protect the football? Was not a strength of his, but Daniel Jones has made a bunch of big throws and great plays, led some good drives, and a bunch of terrible turnovers. He's been very rookie-ish for the Giants. You got a veteran back under center, not a lot around him. If he protects the football, might give them a better chance to win. Also, they could cost themselves some pivotal draft positioning. They are one game right now from picking first overall. Think about that. Think about the king's ransom they could get for someone to come up and get Joe Burrow if they picked first. Will Eli Manning ruin their chances to pick one or two by playing okay against Philadelphia? One big question, every game from week 14. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Carl Hagelin, Caps winger with speed and penalty killer a night after the PK was awesome, joins us next. Closing in on 1 o'clock and a NFC East discussion. Cowboys, Eagles, who you got? Who's going to win the Redskins division? Or will it be Washington at 7-9?
They're still alive!
Evan Abrams of the Action Network at 145. We can ask him what the odds are on that. Bet that would pay out pretty well.
It should.
Put some cash down right now on the Skins. But let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Let's welcome onto the show our buddy Carl Hagelin, who is back in the lineup for the Capitals. Back healthy, helping to kill penalties. They've won 5 in a row. Back-to-back wins out west the last two nights. Carl, what a stretch for you guys here. It's not supposed to be easy when you hit the road like this, but 3 straight road wins. And you guys have actually won 14 of 16 games this year, at least a point, where you've played on the road. What makes this team so successful when they leave D.C.?
It's a good question. I think first of all, we've shown a lot of character on the road. We've been down a couple of games and found a way to win those games. I think just overall, we've won games in many different fashions on the road. I think we're playing well. We've done a good job with our special teams as of late, and that's key on the road. We're keeping it simple, and you know, we're just trying to get 2 points every night.
What's the challenge getting back into the lineup after – it feels like you've been gone forever, by the way. We missed you, dude.
Yeah.
But now that you're back, obviously, like, nothing could replicate game conditions in terms of getting in shape and everything else, but you guys are rolling, and it's almost like you don't want to mess with anything, but obviously they need you big picture long term. Just talk about some of the challenges there, getting yourself back in and comfortable with your teammates again.
I think first of all, it helps when the team's playing well. You can just go in and do your thing, and it's always easier to play on a team that's winning and on a team where guys, you know, have some swagger and feeling good about their game. So that definitely helps. So I think for me, I'm just trying to go out there and get involved early. You know, that's the one thing you can't really do when you're skating alone. You want to get back in. You want to, you know, get some hits, even get hit a couple of times just to feel. Get your timing back and just get that feel with the puck and a bunch of people around you. That's the one thing that usually takes some time for me.
Carl Hagelin on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. John Carlson right now is doing something I've never seen before, and that's because very few people ever have. And if you actually look up the numbers for defensemen this many games into a year, it hadn't happened since the 70s when the game was different and there were a lot more goals scored. Is he even surprising you guys at this point?
I mean, it's hard to say that he's surprising us because he's been doing it all year, you know, and he just keeps it going, and we're kind of getting used to it. But, I mean, what he did last game was amazing. He looked like a 80-goal scorer last game. And I think most importantly, the way he's playing defensively, he doesn't have to spend too much time in his own end because he's playing so well. He's a big body, he protects the puck well, and he's super smart and good with his stick. So it's... you know, there's a lot of different things that he does extremely well, and you know, fortunate to be right there and see it.
Carl Hagelin with us here every Thursday at 12:45. He will join us here on Grant and Danny. I mean, Carl, it's a dumb question at this point because all you guys do is just rip off wins, and you're playing great, and it's so much fun. What is the, I guess, how do you sort of maintain that, knowing that you got such a long way to go, and the season is such a grind. It's so tough with all the travel and back-to-backs and the different things. How do you get up every night knowing that you guys have accomplished so much already?
I think it comes down to just the personnel we have in the locker room. We're winners, you know. We love winning games, and that's what it comes down to. Everyone wants to, you know, to play their best game, and if one guy doesn't have a good game, you know he's going to bounce back the next time. And in a team like that, it's you know, it makes it easy to come to the rink and, you know, try to get those 2 points every night. So I think we have this good competition within our team, and that you know, that helps you push each other to be better every single night. And you know, that's still our plan. We're not we haven't done anything yet, to be honest. You know, we got to keep getting better. We know it's a long season, but we're focusing on the here and now right now and try to get more wins.
So last night for a pregame for NBC Sports Washington, they assigned me the task of putting together my Metro Division All-Stars. And mm-hmm. It's interesting because you know you have six forwards, three defensemen, two goalies. As you know, it's now like a three-on-three tournament. So there are 11 guys if you count the goalies for each division. But they have every team has to be represented by at least one player. So teams like the Devils or Columbus that don't deserve a player, they get one
anyway. They still get one, yeah.
And then teams like the Caps only get a maximum of three. I say all that to ask you this. It was the hardest exercise I've done since like a book report or some math assignment. It was insane. Oh, I don't have a Devil. I got to get this guy out. But now this forward can't make it because I need this dude. What do you think of the way we do the All-Star game now compared to when you broke into the league?
I can't say I pay too much attention to it. But, you know, I think it's hard, like you said, that some guys that really deserve to go can't really go. But then at the same time, I know how the league works. You know, you want to promote at least one guy per team. You don't want to leave any teams hanging. So I think it's a fine line, but obviously it's tough for the fans to miss, you know, one or two guys that, you know, definitely deserve going. They can't go just because a team is stacked.
How much of the rest of the league do you get to watch? I think how hard the travel is when you guys are playing a night game, it's not like you can just sit around the TV and check out the 7 o'clock puck drop, but like how much have you seen of St. Louis and of Boston who are putting together pretty incredible seasons themselves?
Yeah. When I was hurt, I was watching a little bit of, sure. a little bit of hockey. I think Boston was one of the teams that would be on, pretty good times. I haven't watched a ton of St. Louis, but you know, they're a team that very similar to last year, great defensively, they have four good lines and, even though they've had some injuries, they keep winning games. So there's a lot of good teams in the league, that's for sure. But when it comes to watching other games, I think when you're hurt, you might be watching some games on TV. But once you get going, you get enough hockey, just being at the rink every day, watching video of your own team and pre-scout and all that stuff. So when you get back to your hotel room or back home in your house, you kind of stay away from hockey.
L.A. and Anaheim are side by side. I don't know a lot about California geography, but I know the Angels somehow claim both as a baseball team that's like the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. So I'm curious, Did you guys stay in the same hotel or change spots last night?
We changed spots. Okay. We went down to Newport Beach.
What's the dinner plan for you tonight? What do you hope you eat this evening?
Oh, good question. I'll probably eat some sushi tonight. I think that might be the plan. It's been a while, so... sushi tonight, yeah, that's the plan.
I'm keeping detailed notes. I've asked you this question three times, and your answer has been fish three different times.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I'm not a big steak guy the night before a game. It takes a while for me to digest it, so sticking with sushi.
Do you let yourself do a little tempura or only healthy stuff, no fried?
Depends. Sometimes a little bit of tempura.
There you go.
Not always, though.
Carl Hagelin, boys and girls, on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Great to have you back on. Good to see you healthy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy.
It's Carl Hagelin on The Fan. 145, Evan Abrams of the Action Network with some of the betting lines this weekend, and we'll get some thoughts from him on some potential plays tonight. Cowboys and Bears. Speaking of the boys, who's going to win the NFC East? We'll tackle that in the 1 o'clock hour.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.